In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Beautiful Lord's Day today, brothers and sisters, having passed the beautiful time of our Lord's nativity, those holy days and the Lord's theophany, his revelation to the world, now we're in this beautiful time getting ready for another feast. 1 week from today, 2 weeks from today, we celebrate the entrance of the God into the temple when Christ was a child, when he was brought to the temple of God, one of the 12 great feasts. So we know about Christmas, we know about Easter, but we forget these lesser feasts. So let our hearts be always rejoicing in the presence and looking with anticipation to these next feasts. So again, it's 2 weekends from now, the major feast. We bless the young boys, especially on that beautiful feast day. So we go from joy to joy as Orthodox Christians. But also the church is also preparing us that now we're already looking towards the pastures of Lent. We're looking to that beautiful time. Worldly people, they say, not eating bad, stuffing yourself good. So we bring that to the church sometimes. People look at fasting as a bummer. Or they go, oh, Lent's coming. When the response should be, thank God, Lent is coming. Because invariably, when we quiet down our lives, when we turn the TV off, we should do it all the time. It shouldn't be just in Lent, but in our weakness, we need these few times throughout the year to really refocus our spiritual life. And we prepare to prepare. So if we're always keeping that love of the rhythm, thank God for the blessing of the feast when we're not fasting. We know that it's very quickly easily to become a glutton again and to lose our balance, to lose our rhythm. And thank God for the Wednesdays and Fridays, which we should keep, you know, and with extra holiness as fasting days in the church. And we have excitement about what spiritual feats in humility can I work on? What sicknesses can I really, really start working on? Not in Lent, but start working on them now, and then Lent will be a really purifying time that come the resurrection of Christ, some progress will be made. God won't be crucified and resurrected in vain for each of us, but will actually change. Because the saints say, if you don't change when you're a Christian, it's blasphemous to God. If you don't carry Christ in your body, on your face, how you act to this broken world, then it's a total waste. Doesn't matter if you think, well, it's in my heart. No, if you're ashamed of your cross, if you're ashamed of the Christian life, if you're no different than you were before, then it's as if to say to the world, Christ isn't real, which God forbid. The ancient church grew and overtook simple peasant people. The church spread under incredible persecution. The Roman Empire wanted to crush Christianity and didn't. Why? Because the living Christ in living people. And you guys, in humble, not just the priests, Orthodox Christians, they saw their lives and love were different. So that's a constant question before us. How do we do this? And every day in the church, we have many saints. We should, by the way, reading the lives of the saints is essential. After doing your prayers and reading the scriptures every day, the next most important thing is reading the lives of the saints. If you don't, please begin. I can show you where to get the books, how to read it online. But order these books. It's a 2-volume set. Every day you learn the lives of the saints. In fact, the saints say that children, Orthodox Christian children, should learn to read by reading the Synaxarion, the lives of the saints, starting at the age of 4 or 5. From 5 to 10, they can read all the volumes and then memorize the lives of the saints. What an incredible way for them to learn about the life in God. Because the saints... People say, are the scriptures over? No, the scriptures didn't end after the New Testament was written. The Holy Fathers say it continues to be written in the lives of the saints. It's a continuation of the gospel. And of the saints to this day. Elder Ephraim just passed away, a living saint, now a newly departed saint. His life is a continuation of the gospel. That's so beautiful. It's not just back then. So they show us how to live. Because the messed up world tells us not how to live, right? Billboards say, but they draw us with their sin. They lie to us and say, dress like this, look like this, have your hair like this, do this kind of way, listen to this music, have this car, do this, and this is going to draw to an identity. You'll be alluring, you'll be liked, you'll be happy. And all of us have gone down that path to some extent and still struggle with going down it, and it's miserable, and we know it, and yet we're caught up. But we lack our other great examples. You know, we need great examples of the saints, not just in the church. We need these icons in our homes and in our hearts and in our ears so that we have a battle to say, I want to be not like that messed up world. As strong as it is, I know what I want to be. I want to be, of course, like Jesus Christ. But you might say, he was God, he was perfect, I'm not perfect. Okay, all these saints were sinners like us, and they became such incredible people of love and repentance, and they didn't stay the same. If they can do it, I can do it. How do we do it? We imitate their lives. But you get to know their lives first. So please read the lives of the saints. Today we celebrate a number of saints. Father Paul talked about it last night. St. Mark of Ephesus, an incredible pillar of orthodoxy. St. Macarius of Alexandria. But I want to talk to you about St. Macarius of Egypt. At a young age, he left the city. Well, a lot of the saints weren't just like spiritual people automatically born that way. He lived in the city, and then at a young age, he went into the desert. Like St. Anthony the Great, he went out among the... I want you to research, use the computer for good, look up Orthodox Desert Fathers, and learn to fall in love with the Desert Fathers in the Orthodox Church. These are the early monastic saints who left all the things we hold dear to go into the desert. Like Father Paul said last night, it's scary. Where am I going to get food from? God will provide. Where am I going to get water from? God will provide in a rock or a river. He loves you so much. Trust in him. Where am I going to get clothing from? Where am I going to... And they trusted God in everything, like the gospel tells us to. They were amazing saints. And they were weak at the beginning too. And they prayed and they fasted. And you might say, how does their life relate to our life in our present day in the world? Their life was so inspiring, by the way. Guess what happened? In Egypt, in Alexandria, and because of St. Anthony, it said... The desert became a city. What do I mean by that? After St. Anthony's time and St. Macarius' time, there were more people, men, women, even children, going out into the desert to be monastics, give their whole life to Christ, than there were more than there were in the city. That's unbelievable trust in God. And it tells us it's not just for people that are special and different than us or in the monasteries or just don't have social lives or something. No, they all had social lives. So what can we learn from that? Maybe if we're single, the first lesson is, maybe you're called to the monastic life. Don't assume that you're called to be married. Many of us don't have the Orthodox mentality yet. And so people, since they were five, you know, women knew what color dress they were going to wear for their wedding, how it's going to look, and a guy told himself exactly what kind of wife he's going to have. What that does, then you come into Orthodoxy and you drag that baggage with you. And you don't leave open to the possibility, maybe God's calling you to be a monastic. It's the most beautiful life in the world. Marriage is beautiful and blessed. Monasticism is the angelic life. So few people even consider it, or once they do, they're already married in a mess. You see, you can't try out marriage. People do, but you can try out monasticism. All my kids know that they have to spend time at monasteries. Why? To force them to be monastics? Far from it. Because if you spend time in monasteries rather than, yeah, Disney World's okay, but visiting monasteries, doing those things, spend time, get to know the nuns and the monks, you learn how to pray. You learn what true humility is. You learn love. You learn discipline, how to make your bed. You learn how to pray. You learn how to push through. You see their dedication. You go, I want to be like that. And if God calls you to be a nun like my daughters, glory to God. If they're called to holy marriage, they're much better wives. They can get up early. They can pray. They can work hard. They can work any job. Same for my sons. And I offer that to all of our young people, to our parents. Make the monastery a close part of your life. You have to travel a bit outside of Utah, but it's so worth it. But it's the same life, the same kingdom of heaven for monks and nuns and for married people. We're striving to the same place. And it's the same spiritual life, just arranged a little differently. They have their prayer rules. We should have our prayer rules. They said the Jesus prayer. We said the Jesus prayer. They fast, we fast. They fast on Mondays too, and they never eat meat. More strict. They have obedience. They have an abbot and a bunch of monks. We have a family with an abbot who's the father. We have these different people. We all have our roles in a family. They have their struggles. We have our struggles. They have their services. We have our services. They have their work. We have our work. It's a very similar life. So don't think, I don't want to read. It doesn't connect with me. It's the same life. And we're going to apply the principles of these saints and say, how can this affect my life? In some way. It's so wondrous. Here's the first thing you have to acknowledge. You want to drastically change your life. How many of us really know that? When you come into Orthodoxy, we bring baggage with us and it has to die. I know many a person who's come and they hear these words about monasticism, etc., and they say, no, Father, don't tell me. You know, I'm going to be married, and it's going to look like this, and the picket fence is going to look like this, and all that. Right? You want to see God laugh? Tell him your plans. Right? Have you heard that before? Right? We're going to be my will, and God's will, as long as it aligns with mine. If it doesn't, we're mad, like babies. When we die to Christ, whether we're baptized as children, and we're kind of reconverted constantly in holy confession, and we get serious about our faith, or we're baptized as adults, like many of us, it doesn't matter. We're constantly saying, God, I'm going to lay aside what I think is important to find out what you want from my life. That's scary. Until you realize how beautiful it is. I know many monks and nuns who did the same thing. And when they finally opened their hearts to the grace of God, they are the happiest people alive. And vice versa. I know someone who came and said, Father, you're going to baptize me. I'm going to become a monk, though. I'm going to be a monk. And I said, well, do you do your morning, evening prayers? No, but I'm going to be a monk. Right. Right. You keep the fast? Well, no. I'm going to be a monk, though. Okay. I think we're going to start with the minimum. Don't tell God what's going to happen. And just start living the Christian life. It's the same for both. And many of those men went on to be good married men and realized it wasn't for them. And then vice versa, right? So my point is, we come to the church with, God, as scary as it is, I put my life into your hands. That's scary, to lay aside what we think is our goals in life. But it's beautiful because it lets God choose the path for you that's always much more beautiful. When I look back and look, I wanted this, I look back on my life and say, I'm so glad I didn't get what I wanted. Because the path that God put before me, I never could have allowed. Imagine that God would put such a beautiful path of my wife and my children and all of you and my priesthood in front of me. I never thought of that. My ideas were much worse. Thank God he didn't give me what I wanted. Thank God I have priests that told me, don't push your will. You see what God's will is. And I'm so thankful for that in my life. We have to have that kind of approach. St. Macarius, like many of the Desert Fathers, went out there and did battle. He was hungry. It was hard. He was scared of the demons. He was afraid of many of those things, but he endured. And listen to his Troparion. You didst prove to be a citizen of the desert, an angel in the flesh, and a wonder worker. O Macarius, our God-bearing Father, by fasting, vigil, and prayer, by means of, when Father Paul and I always talk, fasting, vigil, and prayer, what happened? You obtained heavenly gifts. And you heal the sick and the souls of them that come to you with faith. Glory to him that gave thee strength. Glory to him that crowned thee. Glory to him that works healings for all through thee. So the sinful man started off like all of us. He went to the desert. And we don't go to the desert, we go to the desert of our hearts. He went to the arena of salvation. For us who are already married in the world, the arena is here, in our jobs, in our families, in this community. For those who aren't married, you should explore if it's the monastery. Maybe it's here, but wherever it is, the place, it's not the place that sanctifies. It's the life. It's the way of life that matters. Father Seraphim Rose, a great ascetic in California, never went to Mount Athos as a monk. He said, I don't need to go there. I can save my soul on this mountain right here. That's very spiritually minded. Right? Monasteries are good for us to go to, but, you know, someone said, I can't go to Mount Athos. You know what? The monastery in New Mexico is more peaceful, in my opinion, than Mount Athos. I know this is amazing, we should go, but monastery in New Mexico is perfect. And you don't have to have that. We make these ideal circumstances. I'd only be spiritual if we make excuses, right? But right now, where we are in our circumstances, the struggle there, that's our arena of salvation. What do? We live the life of the church. Fasting, vigil, and prayer. We don't like to fast. Vigil. But we haven't really seen what vigil means. Vigil means staying awake at night a little bit before you go to bed to pray when you're tired, or getting up really early to pray, or many pious people get up in the middle of the night. We have people in the parish, very pious tradition, they get up, maybe they go to the restroom every night at midnight, they get up, and they go say a few minutes of prayers in front of their icons and go back to sleep. That's sweet, sweet time of prayer. That's vigil. Many of us need to do this more. Right? My sleep is such that I can't always do that. I can go back to sleep, so maybe I get up a little earlier. Everyone's clock is different, but we all should be dedicated to some quiet vigil time. We have moms with kids who have vigil time. We all need to have this. That's where Christ will come alive to you if you make time for him in that way. Fasting, vigil, and prayer. Let's be honest. We're not good at those things. Let's be honest. We don't even try very much. So don't get discouraged. It'd be really discouraging if we did always did our morning, evening prayers, really fasted like ascetics, really read the lives of the saints, didn't watch anything stupid, didn't do it. We did all those things and then came back to the priest and said, you know what? It doesn't work. I guarantee that's not, that will never happen. I guarantee you it works. The reality is we don't do it. That needn't be depressing, but it should be motivating to say it's not God that's lacking, it's me. But he loves me and wants me to strive forward. And let's talk about what it means to be practical. What did he do that was practical? How do we live like the saints so that we're really different? The epistle reading today. We don't have to go like making up things or like, how do I, spiritual life is so complicated. It's not that complicated. St. Paul, the great saint, our patron saint of our church, he sent letters as the bishop to all the churches who were struggling in the cities like us. And he was teaching the Christians how to do this thing we're trying to do. And this is a textbook today. What Benjamin read, it's a textbook. I'm just going to read it to you a little bit and ask you to take it to heart. It is a pattern for life, so please listen. Brethren, when Christ, who is our life, not a Sunday only thing, who is our life, when he appears, meaning in the second coming, then you also will appear with him in glory. He's telling your high calling is that when Christ appears in glory, you're called to appear, he's the sun, and you're called to be glorious stars like these haloed saints when he comes. It's an expectation of every Christian. Wow. How do we do that? He says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Look at yourself honestly. Talk to your spiritual father, Father Paul, or myself. Get honest with yourself. What is very earthly in you? Addiction to TV, addiction to movies, addiction to food, whatever it is. We all have these things. Don't stand for it any longer. Don't let the devil have that hold on you. Name it. Come to your spiritual father. Ask for help. He'll give you prayers, prostration, things to do, and you can uproot it by the grace of God in obedience to St. Paul. You want to be healed? Here's how. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Like what? He says, fornication, impurity, passions, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Those are all the big sins of our time and then. Fornication, lust, all over the place. Inappropriate things everywhere. People's hearts, minds, TV. Don't allow that. Dress modestly. Don't watch things that are junky. Don't go to places that are junk. Don't allow yourself or your kids to have. Put purity. Put the Mother of God. Put holy things in front of you. Passions. Meaning like the passions of the flesh. Right? Being a glutton. Being all these kind of other things. Evil desires that we all struggle with. Covetousness. I want this. I want that. Which he says is idolatry. You're making an idol. You don't need that. God will give you everything you need. He says, because of this, because of our sins, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Why are we struggling and suffering? Because of all these sins that we're not repenting over. But it needn't stay that way. He says, in these you once walked. Before you were a Christian, or let's say, before you were serious about your Orthodox faith, if you're baptized as a child, okay, you walked like this. In these sins you once walked, when you lived in them. But he says, but now put them all away. Don't make excuses. Don't let your junk and your, like a dog back to its vomit, don't drag your baggage into this new life in Christ you have. How do I do that, Father? Repent. Toughness. Will. Our wills are much stronger than we think. We just, because we love our vomit. You know how dogs eat their vomit? It's disgusting. Right? I'll give you a better example. Half the kids in this church, they pick their nose in a certain place and then they eat it. You seen that? I see it and go like that. Right? But you're like that spiritually. This disgusting thing, so good. You know it's wrong, but you go, It's a funny analogy, but look at your life and say, what are the disgusting things that you continue to go back to? And make a resolution today, by the grace of God, by the prayer of St. Macarius, to say, with the help of God, our spiritual Father, I am not going to live this way anymore. I'm going to put away watching TV. It's a waste of life. TV is a waste of life. A movie once in a while, fine. I'm going to stop wasting time on the internet. I am going to stop eating all this nonsense. Right? I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to stop wasting my life. I'm going to stop using bad language. I'm going to start really stop making excuses about being in the church more. I'm going to go to confession. I'm going to read the lives of the saints. I'm going to do all the things I know I should do, but just always put off. Always put off. I'm sick of being unchanged. That's what he's saying. You walked in them? Okay, even today you walked in them? Hear these words at the first time from St. Paul. But now, today, put them away. Put away anger, wrath, malice, slander, foul talk from your mouth. God forgive us, we're all guilty. Put those away with the help of God. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old nature. You have put it off when you were baptized or you repent with its practices, and you have put on a new nature, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its maker. We are being fashioned to be like Christ, like the living God. He's fashioning us in the church to make us so we can be icons of Him to appear in glory. You know, one of the saints says, when God comes, it won't be like a judgment seat like many people think in a Western way. He says, I assure you, it won't be like that. He says, when God comes, He's going to look at you. And He's going to say, when you die and stand before Him at His second coming, He's going to say, are you an icon of Him? Does God recognize Himself in you? If so, eternity with Him is natural. But if you have no part in Him, if we reflect Him in no way, He doesn't know us. That's pretty powerful. Our life is spent to become an icon of God, like the saints, through this process. And then he says this, he ends with this. This new nature which is being renewed here in the church, in this life, there can be neither Greek nor Jew. Circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man. What he's saying is, no one cares if you're Russian. You're not special. Forgive me. No one cares if you're Romanian. No one cares if you're American. No one cares. God does not care about that. By the way, it doesn't mean you can't be thankful to be an American or thankful to be a Romanian. I love all those cultures. But the problem is they get elevated over God. Right? St. Paul from the very beginning was saying, doesn't matter if you're a Jew or not a Jew, if you're Greek, whatever it is. In our opinion, no one cares. God isn't stupid. He looks the heart. Right? The heart of a person. What matters is this process we just discussed today. Repentance. Being baptized, first step. Renewing our baptism. Having a spiritual father. Having a prayer rule. Prayer. By fasting, vigil, and prayer, you obtain heavenly gifts, St. Macarius. I want heavenly gifts. Peace, joy, love, all the gifts of the Spirit. No fear. Don't you want that? That's why you're here. How do we get it? We're baptized. We swim in the life of the church. We pray. Get a prayer rule from Father Paul and myself, your spiritual father, and keep it. Tire your body. Prostrations, like doing prostration. Keep the fast of the church. Ask your priest how to keep the fast even more seriously. And vigil. Stay up a little later. Get up a little earlier. Read the lives of the saints. Come to the church as much as possible. And you know what? You'll be changed, brothers and sisters. Imperceptibly, perhaps at first, slowly. But if you say, I'm not going to live this way anymore, I'm going to walk in Christ, I guarantee you'll be changed. Not just for yourself, for your family, for this crazy world around us. And then he ends the most beautiful way. If we do this, if we live this life, if we don't think that we're special because of our race, then none of that matters. What happens is Christ becomes all and in all. You know, my daughter Nectaria told me this in the inside of the book of St. Anthony the Great. The monastery published it. There's not a lot of the ISBN nonsense in the front. It just says, a quote of St. Anthony, it says, breathe Christ. How beautiful is that? Breathe Christ. Or like St. Patrick of Ireland back there, sticking to the right. You should read his breastplate that he was buried with, but it, a little bit is in that scroll right there. Christ in front of me, Christ behind me, Christ above me, Christ below me, Christ in me, Christ around me. It's so beautiful. Liturgical poetry. But that's how the saints became saints. It wasn't like they became saints and then started loving Jesus. They were very broken like you and I. They were on that fence between, is it worth getting serious or not? Should I really put to death these sins? I kind of like them or not? But they were suffering, and one day, like St. Anthony. St. Anthony, we just celebrated the other day, he was worldly like you and I. He walked by a church and he heard the epistle reading. He heard it. Sell, if you want to be perfect, sell all you have. Right? So all you have and give to the poor. And he did it. It was a bold, crazy move by the worldly standards. He did it. Your friends might think you're crazy if you get serious about being a Christian. They're broken too. But imagine if you do it. You stop sinning so much. You change your life. It might be a little bit weird. You'll be holy. You'll be sanctified and you'll be salt in this bland world. You'll be a light of Christ in this world around us. So brothers and sisters, let us breathe Christ. I don't know how, Father, nor do I really. I feel like we're fumbling in the dark, but I know a little bit. And what I don't know, we follow the saints and I follow my spiritual Father. So I'm here, Father Paul's holding my hand, and then all of us are walking together towards the kingdom of God. Right? You know, on the vestments, these tassels symbolize all the souls that the spiritual Father is in charge and has to account for. This wraps around the priest's neck to symbolize this is the weight of the spiritual Father of the pastor. But we don't give up by the grace of God. We keep fighting. So the same thing I'm telling you every Sunday, I'm telling myself. Father Paul and I are always discussing. And so we are willing to do anything for you to the kingdom of God as spiritual fathers. We're so thankful that we have this beautiful church. We're building our new church. People are hungry, brothers and sisters. But it's time for us to get serious about our spiritual life. It's time for us to make paradise real and not just words. So may we start today. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Get real about what you really suffer with and struggle with. Bring it to confession. Ask for help. And begin today. St. Herman said, from this day, from this hour, from this minute, strive to love Christ above all and keep His commandments. It's not hard. Excuses are what we usually fall into. Let's stop making excuses. Let's do the hard work for the sake of our God who loves us so much. Let's breathe Christ. When we breathe Him, ineffable joy comes to us. We start to actually change and taste the kingdom of heaven. And this broken world, which needs us so badly, we start to taste heavenly gifts that only flow from us if we live this holy life. May God help us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.